Our passage of scripture this evening. As you're turning there, I wanted to say a big thank you from all of us at the camp for many of you in the church came out to help us at our work day a couple weeks ago. I feel like we had more things accomplished in just that weekend than probably Jeremy or I could do in about a year. Actually, just Jeremy, because I can't do a lot of that stuff. But it was a real blessing. We cleaned out trees, we fixed some electrical problems, we did some painting, we moved some dirt around and put out some new gravel. And I just want to say thank you to all of you that sacrificed your time, your weekend just to be with us. Many of you gave not only your time, but your funds to be able to help us get ready for this summer. And to do summer camp, boy, it takes a lot of work. And it takes a lot of funds to get us prepared up into that moment. And I really want to give God the glory that He's really prepared us to right where we need to be right now. We will start next tomorrow, this week, our Community Initiative Camp Week. And we have two of those this year, and we've been raising funds. That's an outreach from the camp to the community, and we were able to raise a little over $12,000. And so this next week, we'll be doing teenagers, and at the end of July, we'll be an outreach to junior age campers, third through sixth grade. And so there's still a little time. If you know of somebody that you want to reach out, maybe isn't saved, come talk to us, and we'll see if we can find a spot for them to be able to participate at camp. And then let me encourage you for our church to sign up for the camp weeks that Pastor Nate and Pastor set aside. The junior camp, Jeremy Frazier is a great friend, great speaker. You won't regret sending your kids to that. And then, of course, our teenagers, you're in for a real treat. Dr. Johnny Pope, this will be his first year speaking at the camp, a well-respected individual in our Baptist circles and a fantastic communicator of the Word of God. So please don't miss out. Sign up your young people. I promise you that one week at camp will make a real difference in their life. All right, let's get into Genesis chapter 35. If you made it there, and if you're able to, would you stand as I read this passage and story about Jacob, a time in his life where God called him to go back and revisit Bethel. Let's read starting in verse number 1, and it said, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with them. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried beneath Bethel under the oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and poured a drink offering thereon, and poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Now I want you to understand that this is the second time that God drew Jacob's attention back to this very special place. And I'd like to title my message tonight, A Time for Us to Revisit Bethel. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for a good evening of praise so far. And we do ask God that you would draw our attentions, our minds, and our hearts down to the Word of God. Help us to have clarity of understanding of what it means to come back to a place of Bethel in our life where we can experience revival and maybe rekindle the things that perhaps have been a little stoic in our lives. And may we give Jesus Christ all the glory in whose name we pray, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. When I was a teenager, I was about 16 years old, and things in my life, I really wasn't walking in the Lord like I should. I got saved as a young child at the age of 9, but you know, as some kids get older, they tend to not follow the nurturing and admonition of their parents and can kind of become a little rebellious. And I think that was where I was at 16 years old. So my parents decided when we were moving from North Carolina to South Carolina, I think it's time for you to go spend some time with your good Uncle Rod and your Aunt Kay out in California. And so I look forward to going, and I'd been to California a few times. It's in the Bay Area. And my uncle and aunt, they decided to host me for a summer to their own peril at 16 years of age. But they were real good hosts, and I learned a lot about the area. And I took away that summer some really good memories of being with family and some of the things that God was teaching me. You know, some of the memories I have were just stupid memories that wouldn't even mean a thing to you. But because that was my summer where God was doing a lot of work in my life, I never forgot it. I mean, I never forget the time my cousins and I, when we wanted to go swimming over there and at one of the pools in the communities where one was living at the apartments. It was always cold, and it's the Bay Area. If you've ever been over there, it's always cold. And so we were determined that we didn't want to freeze in the water. So we decided to ride in the car with the heat on full blast in August. So that way when we got out of the car and we jumped in the pool, it would feel great. Well, we rode for 30 minutes, sweating drops of water all over the place. And when we got in the water, we had quite a shock to our system as we were already dehydrated. Now, that was just a stupid thing to do, but it was a memory for me because that was a very special summer over there at my Uncle Ra and Aunt Kay's. And, you know, at the end of the summer, we all went to youth camp, and that was the first time as a teenager where I was pulled away and was able to go to a place like youth camp or where the Bible was preached. And you know, that camp really wasn't anything special in and of itself. It was this remote place up in the mountains of Northern California near Ukiah. There was no air conditioning in the buildings. Roaches would sometimes come on the French toast in the morning. They had goats that would just roam across the property. Sometimes we did goat tipping as an activity. The chapel was really just a garage, and the big garage door was right behind the speaker. And, you know, to cool things down, they would, you know, raise the door up. And as the evangelist is really trying to make a point, well, there comes the goats just eating, you know, chomping on grass, and they start looking at everybody. And they would just walk on by. And now that was funny to me because I'd never seen goats intrude on a worship service. But you know, that whole experience was very special to me because it was at that time in my life that God was calling me into the gospel ministry. It was there at that place that I made a commitment, I made a vow that I would serve the Lord with my life in whatever capacity He wanted me to. You know, Bethel was a special place for Jacob. Because Jacob had made some important decisions in his life. And I want you to notice, first of all, about Bethel, let's talk about the relevance or the significance of what Bethel meant to Jacob. Now, to understand that, we need to go a few pages back over to chapter number 28. Chapter number 28. And as you're turning there, I'll catch you up on the story at this point in Jacob's life. Jacob had deceived his dad. He had manipulated his brother to take the birthright that was supposed to go to the firstborn son. And because of this situation, Esau, of course, was angry and was out to kill his brother Jacob. Of course, his mom and his dad said, well, listen, you got to get out of here. Why don't you go and spend time with your uncle Laban up in Paddan Aram and spend some time so that your brother doesn't come and kill you. And so Jacob flees from home. He's running. And, you know, the first place that he stops was a place called Bethel. And let's read in verse number 10. It says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones into the place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would ever use stones for a pillow. But maybe it's an Old Testament way of doing things. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And Jacob waking out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. You know, the significance of stopping here when he was fleeing in his distress was a very special place called Bethel. Now, it's very possible that Isaac instructed Jacob to make a pit stop there as he made his way up north, because Bethel was a significant place for his father, Isaac's father, Abraham. And we are told that that's where Abraham built an altar to God and said, this is where I'm going to establish myself and set my direction, right here in a place called Bethel. And what do you know? The same place God was using the events in Jacob's life to bring him to this moment where he would understand some things. So the first thing that's significant is that this is where Jacob had commenced his pilgrimage with God. This is when his own personal journey, apart from the family, of his own journey of faith was beginning, where God was talking to him and was reaching out to him. In this process, God says, listen, I am going to be with you. And this vision of the ladder going up to heaven and the angels ascending and descending, well, that was an understanding for Jacob to know that God was interested in the affairs on earth. And you know, that ladder really is a perfect representation of what Jesus Christ is, because Jesus came down from heaven all the way to earth because God cares about us on earth. And he's interested in the affairs of our life. Hey, this is where his pilgrimage, this is where his journey began with God. That's why Bethel was so special. You know, I love the phrase, the quote in Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian, the pilgrim, finally makes it to the wicket gate, and he tells the man goodwill. He says, here's a poor burdened sinner. I'm from the city of destruction, but am going to Mount Zion, that I may be delivered from the wrath to come. I would, therefore, sir, since I am informed that by this gate is the way thither, know if you are willing to let me in. You see, Pilgrim remembered, if you've ever read the story, he was in the city of destruction. He was under distress because he knows that God was coming to destroy that city. And he was reading the book, and he wanted to go to the celestial city. And you know what he did? The evangelist gave him his instructions, and he began his pilgrimage. And that was the start for Jacob here in Bethel. And maybe there's a time in your life where you remember your spiritual beginnings with the Lord. You know, to be able to do that, there had to have been a moment in your life where you were born again, where you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hey, this is a special place because he started his journey with God. Number two, here in Bethel, the promises of God are confirmed to Jacob. Here, the covenant is rehearsed again for now Jacob. This was the first of about eight different appearings of God coming to Jacob. And he would tell him quite often that he was his God and that he was going to use him. And he was going to, through his family, all the world would be blessed. You know, from the west to the south to the east to the north. And all the places he would tread, it would belong to him. No matter what would happen to Jacob, God was always going to be with him. And aren't you thankful for the promises of God that's been confirmed to you through the Bible, where God tells you that he loves you and that he's got a purpose, he's got a plan for your life? Hey, and God will confirm it in your life when your journey with him begins. Hey, the promises were confirmed on him. Thirdly, I want you to notice that he made a personal commitment or consecration to God. I want you to look up verse 19, and it says, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Now, Bethel is called the house of God, but the name of that city was called Luz, but that's what the name Bethel means. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that shall give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. And here, Jacob now commits himself in a vow to God. You know why he did that? Because God showed himself strong in his life. And the response that God wants from us when he shows us himself from the word is he wants us to commit to him. He was setting his roots in life's direction in the place where God dwells. That's why Bethel is so important. Because when God started to call him, he immediately remembered what God did in that place. You know, I could take you back over to California and the Bay Area of American California. It's not a very special place in some respects, depending on where you're from. It's actually quite expensive to live. It's a very liberal city, the Bay Area. It's kind of dirty, but man, every summer, after that first summer, I remember I'd get off the airplane, I'd step out in the city, and I'd go, feels good to be back. The nasty liberal city of San Francisco. And it is dirty and filthy, but boy, it was special to me because that's where God started to do a specific work in my life. He was confirming things for me, and you know what? I made a commitment to him. My friends, that's the relevance of Bethel. Now that brings us back to chapter 35, which is our main passage of Scripture. And you say, well, what happened between 28 and all the way to chapter 35? Well, there was a lot of stuff that took place. You say, well, did Jacob commit to God? Did he keep his vow? You know, he had not. And that's where we get to chapter 35. And I want you to notice, though, in Jacob's life, the rogue, apathetic backdrop to this story. You see, Jacob had not come back to Bethel. And in his life and in his faith, he got a little apathetic. And so God in verse number 1 says, you need to get back to Bethel. Why would he command them? It's because he wasn't there. He says, you need to go back and make the altar. You need to go back to the place where you were fleeing from distress. And I met with you. That's where you need to be, Jacob. You say, why did he get apathetic? And what are the symptoms of that? Well, first off, I want you to notice that a person that's apathetic in their spiritual life, number one, that means their faith has grown a little cold. Their faith has grown a little cold. From chapter 35 all the way to from chapter 30 or 28, there had been about 20 to potentially up to 30 years from when he had left Bethel, gone up to the Syria area, and was making his way back. Well, that's a long time. A long time since Jacob had yet to fill his vow. Now, when he left his uncle Laban, if you remember the story, there was it was a mess. I mean, you know, he wanted to marry Rachel, the pretty one, and he got stuck with Leah at first, the one that had a good personality. And then he finally got Rachel, and they amassed a family, and he was very wealthy. He was doing really well, but his uncle Laban kept ripping him off. And so finally he gave it to God, and God still blessed Jacob. And now it was coming to the moment where it was just too much in the house, and now Jacob and his family had to leave. And so he's making his way back home, if you would say. But one of the hurdles he had to cross was that he was going to have to meet his brother Esau again. Well, what do you know? That he came back and it was a good thing because he and Esau, they reconciled their differences and it was a joyful thing. And God had answered Jacob's prayer in this matter. And Esau says, hey, well, why don't you come to Seir with me? And Jacob says, okay, let me take care of a few things, but I'll meet you down to Seir. But he didn't go. In fact, actually, after Esau left, he comes to a place called Succoth. And Succoth, it looked, apparently was a good place for cattle. And he goes, wow, you know, this is a great place where we could continue to develop our goods. Maybe we should settle here. And so he set up some tables. He put up a house. And so Succoth was really close to a city, which was Salem, which is in the region of Shechem. Now, Shechem is the place where the Canaanites were dwelling. Not where God was at, where the Canaanites were. And so, you know, Succoth looked nice, and boy, I see a lot of potential here. Why don't we just stay here? You see, he didn't go all the way. He was holding back. My friends, when you're apathetic in your faith, you'll get a little cold. You'll become a little bit indifferent. And when that takes place, you're at the phase of your life where you're starting to compromise. He was willing to compromise a little for some temporal benefits. Apathy will always lead us to compromising. Did you know Shechem was only about 30 miles from Bethel? He was so close, and yet he was so far from where he needed to be. Boy, is that not true many times in our life? You know, we can come to church, we can do the things that Christians are supposed to be, yet in our heart, we're far from God. Boy, you can say all the right words with your mouth. You could look the part, but yet in your heart, which God is concerned about your heart, you could be so far from Him. Boy, apathy is not a good thing because your faith will grow cold. Number two, when you're apathetic, your family will become carnal. In verse number two, it says, Jacob said unto his household that were with him, put away the strange gods. Now that ought to jump at you for a second. You mean Jacob? What happened to his God? You know, well, what's with the other gods in his life? Well, over time, he just allowed a little bit here, a little bit there. Rachel, his favorite wife, you know, she stole her father's idols and hid it amongst their things. You know, maybe that was, well, it's Rachel, it's okay. He let that go. And maybe somebody else that was working for him, he allowed a little bit of this in and a little bit of that. And before you know it, they had a lot of gods. They had some things that reminded them of their gods. You say, well, how did that happen? It's because they compromised. Parents, it's a good reminder that if you allow little things to affect your kids over time, it will leaveneth the whole lump. As the phrase is, what you do in moderation, others will do in excess. And so we find his family becoming carnal. You say, well, how do you know that? All you got to do is read chapter 34. And when you read chapter 34, your jaw will drop. Because they did go and plant themselves in the town of Shechem. And what happened there? Well, their daughter Dinah got involved with some men and she was abused. And so then, because they had taken advantage of the sister, Levi and Simeon decided to take things in their own hand and said, well, let's make a pact. If you'll take the rites of circumcision like us, and then we'll try to intermarry. And so they manipulated the men of Shechem so that when they were in pain, then they went in and they killed everybody there. And who was absent? Jacob. Jacob was absent at a time when his family was making bad decisions. It's all because we become apathetic. You know, the third thing I noticed that in the backdrop of his story, when you're apathetic, you need to come back to Bethel because you begin facing some crisis moments in your life. In verse number three, he says, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. I'll make there an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress. You see, he was in distress again in his life. His family had gone through a lot. His sons were murdering people. People had been taking advantage of his own children. And all because he'd been apathetic. Now his family is in crisis mode. Catastrophe, calamity. I mean, this is not the place where anybody wants to be. But how did you get there? Well, it all started years back when you decided to let a little thing slide here and a little thing slide here. And before you know it, you're making decisions that are without God. My friends, that is the apathetic backdrop to the story right here in chapter 35. Well, God doesn't want you to stay there. He didn't want Jacob to stay. I want you to notice the road back to Bethel, the place where God wants each and every one of us. And how did he get there? Well, first off, I see that they had to remove some vices in their life. They had to remove some vices. In verse 2, he says, put away the gods. In verse number 4, they did put those away. But you know what? When they wanted to get right with God, they went all the way. It says that they placed in their hands the gods and all their earrings that were in their ears, and they put them under the tree, the oak, there in Shechem. So it wasn't just the gods, but they were willing to put anything away that was attaching themselves to their past. Anything that would bring back the temptation, anything that was attached to the idolatry. Hey, and if God is working on you to get you back into the place where you really need to be, that means you're going to need to go all the way. Repentance isn't just a little bit. No, you need to go the whole way if you want to experience the blessings of God. You got to remove the vices. The second thing, you got to renew the vows. In verse 3, he says, we're going back because I made a commitment to God. I need to go back and build this altar. Not only did he make his commitment renewed, but also God renewed his promises again. And that's the real blessing, that when you get back where you need to be, God always reminds you that he has his best intentions for you. And he'll give you the covenant. He'll give you his word, just like he did in the following verses. Then the third process, or the step back to getting to the place of Bethel, is that you need to rededicate your life back to him. Verse number 11, God tells him the promises. God went up from that place where he talked with him. And in verse 14, Jacob set up a pillar in that place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon and poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel. If you're going to get back to the place where God wants you and where you need to be in your life, that means you need to start building the altars back. Building the altar is your statement of settling yourself with God, saying, "You're my God, and I am your child." And he poured out a drink offering. Now, the drink offerings were the liquid, which was a representation that it all was laid on. Just like the blood of Jesus was all laid on the altar for the remission of sins. You know what he was doing? He said, "God, I want you to know, I'm all in. I want to be all there." That's true rededication. That needs to be in all of our lives if we're not at a place like Bethel. You know, and if you do that, I want you to notice two things that God will bless us with. You know, the first thing I want you to notice is that when you get back to the place where you need to be, I think God unleashes some burdens and some weights in our life. In verse number 8, we're told that Deborah, which was Rebekah's nurse, was very old and she died at this place. Now, Deborah had some significance to the life of Jacob. I mean, she was probably that second motherly figure, like a really close aunt. And if the Bible left her here, she probably was a great woman of faith. I wonder that once Jacob did right, then God was ready to take her home. You never know, maybe she'd been praying for her family to get back to Bethel, knowing that they shouldn't be in Shechem. Boy, I'm really thankful for my grandparents. I'm thankful for my granny who just passed away last year. You know, my granny, she had a very interesting life. But towards the end of her life, you know what was known of my grandmother? She spent hours praying for all of her grandchildren. She prayed for all of us. And when we honored her at her funeral, it was a joyous occasion because she was now with the God that she talked with so much. And sometimes I think when we get back to where we need to be in our life, God will unleash some emotional heavy load burdens. But I also want you to notice that if you get back to Bethel, God will give you understanding and purpose for what that special place where it all began was all about. If you look at verse number 7, look at this real quick. When Jacob first got there, he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel. You know what that is? That's the God of the house of God. I find that to be very interesting. You see, what he really needed was not just this physical place called Bethel. When he left, he needed the God of Bethel. My friends, you don't need church as a crutch. You need the God of this church for your spiritual life. That's what's important. If you have God, then everything about what this church stands for, you'll be able to enjoy all the fruits of what God has in store for us. Because God is the sole focus in our walk of faith. And I believe that if we're in a place that we would identify as a place like Shechem, God wants you to know that he might be calling you back to a place where you need to be. Perhaps it's right here in the real house of God, because this is where the lifeblood of our spiritual walk with him needs to function. It's in the local church. My friends, that's when it's time to revisit Bethel. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we have a brief moment of invitation?